All right. Well, this is a time where we dismiss our children to children's church. We like to keep them in here through the worship, the singing, praises to the Lord, and have them be a part of this as much as they can in the mornings, and then we go off and teach them more according to their ages and where they are. And so this is a time where we dismiss them. Grateful for the privilege to be able to preach. I guess you can use that term loosely. You can make that decision yourself after things are over with. Wished it would have happened last week, as Rush had a very sick family, was up all night with kids, but God's timing didn't have it fall that way, and it would have just been a little bit more helpful for him to have me prepared to take the Sunday to preach and to give him a time off. So it is good, we feel, as a church to allow different preaching, not to get used to just one man, and that's real easy to do because he's very gifted by God to do what he's called to do. And so nobody ever intends to build a church around a man. It just, he becomes the focal point of the man that God is using in that place. And it's easy to kind of get set, and that's the guy that I listen from. And so we would like to have our people train their ears to be able to listen to others, you know, along the way. And it's why we have two young men that God has given us that we call pastors in training. We're using them in areas to teach, and they will preach. And so this is just part of the heartbeat of Paramount Church. So we are in the book of John this morning. And before we hit chapter 1, I want to go over and read chapter 20, because it'll probably be about a year and a half before we get here. But it's kind of an important little note that John gives us. And as we work through this book, in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he tells us right here, and if you've got books, they got divisions, they usually have this little line that kind of says a note about what the paragraph is about or the section is about. It says, the purpose of this book says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So he gives us this little note right at the end of this book and telling us this is why he's written this book. And so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And that by knowing him, you can have life. That's why it's good. If you've got somebody that you're walking with that doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord, this is a great place to get them to go read the Word. If you can get them reading the Word, this is it. Get them to John. This is what the Holy Spirit will use to help open their eyes and take the scales off of their eyes. Birth their heart. Get that truth of Scripture down into them. And everything here is pointing to Christ and who he is. We looked at and we're looking at the glories of Christ. And that's what was preached on last Sunday. So just again, just to read, passage of Scripture. It says, and this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. When I started looking at this, this is a little difficult. What are you going to do with this? And pleading and begged God to say, you know, show me. And we are trying to teach you to listen in a certain way. And there's a format that we try to preach out of. And I told Rush yesterday when he's asking me for some notes and things, I said, this is probably not going to follow your format this morning. Okay? So just to give you a little heads up, still listen. And the sermon this morning is called, Who Are You? That's the question. Who are you? It's what they're asking of John. Let me pray for us. Father, as we come to this moment where we climax around your word, we are desperate for your Holy Spirit to come and teach us. And we ask and know with confidence that you are here and that you can take these things and you can radically transform hearts and lives. And so we come with expectation, not on anything that we will do, but all totally dependent on you accomplishing a work in each one of our lives. Not just the one who stands here and speaks, needs great work in his own life, but that you use these things to transform us, to make us like Christ. And so we just commit this time to you and ask that you just meet with us again. You're so faithful, week in and week out. But help us. It's so easy to walk in and out of here and hear and never do. So we ask that you just, by your power, by your grace, by your mercy, by your strength, you cause us to change. And we'll be faithful to give you all the glory for everything that is done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're looking here. It says, who are you? You got the Apostle John that is writing this book. And we come to this section where he is now bringing one of his first witnesses. One of the first things that he's bringing to talk about the glories of Christ. This one called John the Baptist. So, what do you know about John the Baptist? This is a part where you're not used to interaction and sermons. We're still small enough. I still kind of like interaction. What do you know about John the Baptist?
An older relative of Jesus.
All right. He's a relative of Jesus. Probably a cousin. What else you know?
He lived in the wilderness.
Ate locusts and honey.
An angel foretold his birth. Met with his dad. Dad couldn't talk.
Be careful when you get pregnant.
Yeah.
I thought it important for us to kind of take a look because John just jumps right in and he's just going right straight to John the Baptist. Here's the testimony of John the Baptist. So this morning, I'm going to move you around through your Bibles. I pray that you will love your Bible. I pray that you'll bring your Bible. I'm the guy that's old here. And I get the whole technology stuff. Don't lose the love for this treasure that God has put into our hands. Whether you read it on an electronic device or whether you hold the Bible in your hand. I was taught, you know, through my days and through the church that I was a part of, well, treasure this. We should swim in it. It's an ocean that we will never get enough of. So just the scriptures. So we're going to move around this morning. Some of the verses will come up. But as we look at this, go over to Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. And we're going to see some of these things you just talked about. It says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid. This is the angel talking to Zechariah, which is John's father. It said, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Verse 18. And Zechariah said to the Lord, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. He questioned. What you hear, you see here, this is what's taking place. An angel of the Lord came to him. They're old.
they're barren. Not supposed to be having children. And they're going to have this son. And this son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from inside his mother's womb. Before he ever is birthed. He's the son of a priest. And he's living in the desert. And he's eating locusts and honey. You read there where it says he will not drink wine. He will not drink strong drink. That's all that's said. But if you know in the Old Testament, if you go back to Numbers in chapter 6, I think it is, and 1 through 21, you had the vow of a Nazirite right there. And this is one part, just one part of that vow that's being made. And I'm not trying to say he was making a vow as a Nazirite, but I guarantee you his daddy, a priest, knew exactly what that angel was talking about. This kid's going to be set apart. This is the same thing that was told to Samuel and Samson. You don't hear that they didn't cut John's hair. It's not mentioned. I'm not trying to say he had long hair. You know, it's just this is his dad knew exactly what was going on. And this is a son that God has given to them, and he's set apart. He'd be holy. He's going to be used by God. If you turn over to Luke chapter 3. 3 through 7. And he went into all the regions of all the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight. And the tough places shall become level ways, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. I'm going to stop there. You see what's starting to go on in John's life. In Matthew, I'm not going to take the time to read it because time's going to be short. But you get another picture from Matthew of who John is, what's going on. And he's out there and he is making a way. He's preparing a people for Jesus to come. And he is baptizing. And he is baptizing them in repentance. You'll hear more about this in the next week. So it's not our focus, but this is going on. And in Matthew, he tells us they're coming, man. They're coming from Jerusalem. They're coming from Judea. They're coming from all over the regions. And it's enough so that they come and they say, they're sending this little delegation to come out and say, who are you? What's going on? So these guys, and then it says the Jews. You're going to hear that term a lot through this book. Be used about 70 times in this book. It has different meanings along the way. Sometimes it's not a good meaning. Sometimes it is a good meaning. John's a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. But they send these guys out, and they're priests and they're Levites, they're religious leaders because of what's going on. These guys know their Old Testament. They know the Scriptures. What do you think they're looking for? What's happening? God's been silent for 400 years. No prophet has spoken. What's coming? The Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah. What's going on out here? Who are you? Who are you? And what's John's answer? That's all they ask him. Who are you? What's his answer? Go back to John chapter 1, in verse 20, they come out. Now the priests and Levites of Jerusalem came and asked him, who are you? And he confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He knew what they were asking. He knew who these guys were. He knew what they're looking for. And you got people that are looking. And they're expecting. Their waited Messiah is coming. And this guy out here is, what are you doing? You're doing all these things and you're baptizing people. Who's giving you the power and the authority to do these things? And John just, man, a few words. He's known as bold, wearing camel hair. as he's out in the desert, girded with a belt. He's different. And they're asking, saying, who are you? And he says, I am not the Christ. I'm not. I'm not the Messiah. I know what you're thinking. That's not me. So what do? What's the next thing? Okay, so they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? If you're not the Christ, then our Old Testament tells us that, Elijah's coming. And he will be leading to the Christ. Go to Malachi chapter 4, very end. This is where God goes silent. Chapter 4, 5 and 6 says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and to the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And remember, we just read, that's part of what the angel said to Zechariah. They're looking. They know, hey, this is the way it ended. Maybe you're Elijah. And he says, what does John say? I am not. He does confirm this prophecy. And Jesus confirms this as you read on in the New Testament, that he is a type of Elijah. They were looking for the Elijah to come back and be this leading to the Messiah. So it's interesting. It's always, I'm looking through this text and I'm looking at these guys and know their scriptures. But they miss it. How'd they miss it? How'd they miss it? I don't have an answer for you. But you can see, these were the guys who ended up, as you'll see through this book, this is the crowd that are putting to death. Even his disciples missed it, right? And they know he's the Christ. But you're not going to die. You're going to save your people. You're going to free us from the Romans. You know? I know one thing. Let it be a reminder to you. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are far higher than our ways. And it's good. And we're working through ABF and we're building relationships. We're speaking truth to one another. This is part of what we do. We bring back people back to the center of the truth. Sometimes we get sideways and we don't see clearly. Things influence us. That's why we need one another. They're walking with the Son of God and they got in their mind, okay, I know how this is going to turn out. No, not so much. Not so much. He does fulfill this. Go over to Matthew 11, 12, and 14. So I want you to see this. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven. And this is Christ speaking. If you've got a red letter Bible, you know that. This is Christ speaking. It says, John the Baptist, until now the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the voice of the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says this again over in Mark in the 9th chapter. I'm not going to go there. But you can see, it says the same thing. Jesus is saying, he's come. He's letting you know. He's prepared the way. And they're asking, who are you? You Elijah? I am not. Here's this guy who's known for his boldness. You brood of vipers. The religious leaders. Boy, that's entering their world. We talked about this morning. Going, here he is. And he's like, man, they're coming out here. He is bold. He is preparing the way. He is preaching repentance to people. That's not a comfortable subject. And people are coming and they're hearing and they're listening. And John goes, I'm not Elijah. I'm not Elijah. He goes on. All right, verse 21. Keep with me. Are you the prophet? And he answered and he said, no. If you go over to Deuteronomy 18:15, that's on the screen. You can see that. This is where they thought, the Jews thought, they thought very highly, they revered Moses as one of the greatest prophets ever, their first and greatest. And when you read this text, it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded them. So they're all the way back to the beginning. They're saying, hey, are you the prophet? John, each answer gets less words and less words, and it's like, no. No. So these guys, I don't know what the context was. They keep asking questions. He keeps saying, no, that's not me. That's not me. All right, well, somebody sent us out here. And we have to go back with an answer. All right? So, he said, what do you say about yourself? Who are you? What do you say about yourself? So John goes and he says, I'm John the Baptist. I'm the one whose angel spoke to my dad. Told me I was going to be born. He announced to my father my birth that was coming. I will be great before the Lord. The scriptures tells us he will be great before the Lord. I was filled with the Holy Spirit before I was born. I'm the son of a priest. My father, Zechariah. I'm a Levite. I have been set apart by God. I have never drank from the vine. Never drank strong drink. I'm holy. I'm set apart. I have lived my whole life for the service of God. I'm the cousin of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm John the Baptist. That's who I am. Is that what your Bible says? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. The humility that is in that is phenomenal. I'm just a voice. I'm one crying out in the wilderness, doing all I can to make straight the path for the one who's coming. He tells us over in Mark chapter 1, verse 7. And it's mentioned later on, just in a few verses behind this, but Mark states it a little bit differently. Mark chapter 1, verse 7. I'll back up to 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Not worthy to stoop and even make the gesture to go down to untie the sandals. This was a servant's job when you walked in and the master walked in the house. One of the lowliest servants would go in and take the sandals off of the master and wash his feet. Mind you, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. John gets it. In all that he had, all that God had given to him, all that he had called him to, all that he's doing by the power of God. And I think there's a meekness in this. There's a humility and there's a meekness, because that's why you see John's bold. He knows his position. He knows who he is. He is nothing apart from Christ. He is nothing apart from what the Holy Spirit is doing. But he takes great confidence in what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through him. And he's filled with the Spirit and he's walking by the Spirit of God. But that meekness, meekness is not weakness. When I talk about meekness, blessed are the meekness, the opposite of being out of control. It is not a weakness, but supreme self-control empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean by that. That's what John is demonstrating. He says, oh, I'm just a voice. And you see this in people who walk close to the Lord and walk with God and are powered by the Spirit. And you see what? You see the fruits of the Spirit in their lives. You see a humility. You see a patience. You see a kindness. You see a boldness. You can speak the truth in love. Because that doesn't come from us. That only comes from God. Who are you? What do you say of yourself? Last week we heard preach the glories of Jesus. You're going to hear preach for the next year and a half? We ought to be doing everything we can. Even if you don't feel comfortable sharing the gospel, I'd love to help you with that because you can tell a story. God saved you, tell them your story. You're going to hear that from these who follow Christ going, hey, come see. We found him. Come see. Come see. Bring him in here. The man will faithfully preach the word of God. As best I know, we will do that every time you walk in this place. And you're going to have the glories of Jesus preached here for over a year and a half. We need to get people here so they can get under the sound of the gospel and they can be saved. It's why God came. It's why this is all being done. God's orchestrated all of this. And last week in community group, we were asked the question, how does Jesus' fullness of glory change the way we live? We walk in here, we hear it preached, and we walk out of here. Who are you? And we sat around the community group and we had a very sobering conversation on the frivolity of life. What are you doing? What am I doing? And the pressures of this world that we live in, we have to live in it. But it's conforming us, it's pressing us, it's taking time. And we'll sit around and we talk about, what are you doing? Insert your whatever consumes you. Your toy, your pack, what is it? The frivolities of life. And when we see the glories of Christ and what God is doing and what he has created us for even before sin came was to worship him and to make much of him. And now he has saved us. For what? Just so you can go to heaven? That's great. Yes. Yes! Praise God. And I should be telling everybody I come in contact with. How are you spending your time? Who are you? I had college kids over last night. They warned me. I'm not poking my finger today. I have a tendency going, who are you? Who are you? Listen, not to me. There's one who sits right here with us. He's here. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Who are you? Have you ever had anybody come and ask you, who are you, man? What makes you tick? You ever had anybody say, man, tell me about the hope that lies within you? Be ready. Give an answer. The hope that lies within you. That's the way we should be living. Has anybody ever come and ask us? Not usually. Doesn't happen to me much. It's just a thought. Who are you? We have a tendency to think of these guys in scriptures, well, they're kind of special. I mean, the angel did speak to his dad. You know, he was born. He got the Holy Spirit in him with it from the womb. I mean, he's special. And, you know, we kind of, well, Paul, he's a pretty special guy. You know, I mean, you know, Christ came and met him on the road to Damascus. Bright light, many salvation. Be careful. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. God's met you on your road. He shined the light of the glorious gospel in your life. so that you would see personally. He's given us faith to believe, to be saved. He's filled us with His Spirit. He lives in us. He lives in us, God Himself. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm wrestling with some things in my life that I can't get my hands on. And it says we're walking through this. You got Christ in you. Old things passed away. And yet, this is not in the notes and this is dangerous, but we were talking this morning. Enter in people's world. And I get it. My wife tells me all the time, you need mercy. I cry out for mercy. I don't have mercy. It's not a badge of honor. I need mercy. God gives me mercy. I'm to be a mercy giver. You finish reading Job, what we were looking at this morning, and the young guy sits there and doesn't say a word. And before it's over, he goes, I'm angry. And I'm telling you I'm angry. And my gut's about to come out of me. Because I need to speak to you. Y'all are wrong. And he goes off. And you keep reading. And God says, you other three guys, you need to go sacrifice because you were wrong. This young guy, he didn't have to do any of that. And Job wouldn't make sacrifices. And that's me. I'm the guy that I'm angry. Don't do this. But he sat and listened. That's what we were talking about. And he knew. And I believe with all my heart, God put that in him. Because when he tells you to speak, you're about to bust. And he's scared. He's the young guy. He's not supposed to be speaking. These are the old guys. Have all the wisdom. You need to learn from us. But I struggle with the energies and the things that we are consumed with and that we're fighting through. And I'm trying to say, how do I help people come out of that? And how do we live in this power? Who are you? This is who you are. We were children of wrath. We're no longer children of wrath. We're children of God. He calls us, be ye holy as I am holy. That comes through the power of His Spirit. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. He's given us this immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked within us when He raised Christ from the dead and He set Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power that is given toward us. Who are you? Created for His workmanship, for good works, that we should walk in them. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving, as you have been forgiven. That's tough. That's hard. But you can do this in the power of the Spirit. God has indwelt us. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Do you know what you've been forgiven of? Have you been to the cross lately? Be thankful. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you hunger? What do you hunger for? You look at your life. Who are you? Who are you? We learned last week. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. He saved us. Be an ambassador. And we decided that. Sherry goes. We're to take the place of the one. Really? Really? That's what He saved us for. We could be like Christ. Everywhere we go. My frivolity. God, it weighs heavy. I mean, you young people, what are you doing? I'm talking to some young people back home, and I'm walking to decisions made to kind of chase the things of this world and get offered opportunities. And I can't do it because I'm so sucked into the world. I can't afford to make this change. And having a heart for going, man, I want to go for God. Oh, I can't do it, man. That'd be a cool. It's hard. What are you pursuing? A voice? We all. A voice. Go make disciples. All of us. That's no special call. It is a special call. For all of us, and not for a special people. It is for special people. Those that He saved, that He redeemed, that He's called sons and daughters. Voice. Sharing the gospel. Bringing people to Jesus. We're going to stand there one day and look at Him in the face. And I long for that day. And we'll never measure up, but we can press forward. Always. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? What would your answer be? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." In chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us all lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you love Jesus? Do you really? Do you? Do you really love Jesus? Looking to Jesus, the continual deep gaze. Continual deep gaze. Who are you? What would you say about yourself? And this is not, hear me, this is not to beat anybody up. This is not to put a guilt trip on anybody. This is not. It is, we are to come and stir one another up. We are to come and to remind each other. Why? Because this sin, this stuff that weighs us down so easily, lay it aside. I'll do everything I can to try to help people. Lay it aside. Run. Run. You got a short time. We were praying where God was leading us. I told my wife, we only got about 20 years left. You don't like that. That's if He's gracious. I got a short time. I'm going to run. Because of Jesus. Because you love Jesus. He's your Savior. He died. And I hope that I would say, I'm just a voice. There's nothing in me any good. Except for Christ. It's all Christ. You got to know Him. Let me tell you about Him. Let me introduce Him to you. And He'll take you over. He'll radically transform your life. Do you know Jesus? This book is written so that you can know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, you need to come. You need to come. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Rush. Grab somebody. And come. Come. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we, for just a brief moment, gaze into Your Word. See a man that You set apart for Yourself, that he did have a special calling, and that You used him, and he was faithful to that calling. The son of a priest could have lived somewhere else besides the desert. But we know You have met us. You have pursued us when we were Your enemies. when we hated you and we wouldn't even say that. Most of the time we wouldn't even admit, oh, I don't hate God. I just didn't love you. We were your enemies. And you came in your great love and pursued us and you saved us. You didn't stop there. You filled us with yourself. You promised you'd never leave us nor forsake us. God, may this place be a place of known as a voice crying out in the wilderness, crying out to Christ to those who are around us, crying out to each other, Christ that lives within us. How can I help you lay aside? How can we help battle against the sin, the changes that we need to make? Because we're running this race together. As long as you let us. So that you can save those that you died to save. God, we love you. I pray that you increase that in each one of us. And I pray that you will help us as your Spirit confronts. When we answer that question, that's between me and you. And so as you examine my heart and you, in tenderness, show me things to change. And give me the strength. Give me the desire. Help me as I change to be more like Christ. And God, if there's somebody here today that they may not leave here not knowing you as Savior and Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.